I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. Happy Friday, guys. Hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home. We'll tell you what we've got cooking. Coming up a little bit later on in the show. But today, Mike Bell, today is opening day. The home opener for the Braves. There's nothing like the home opener, even when you open up on the road. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, man, it's great to get in the ballpark, especially for folks who have been just dying for baseball. And I did see today, it was funny, I was stuck in traffic downtown Connector, and I saw the Jets practicing the flyover. So I believe you will get a flyover tonight when you're down at Truist Park, because I presume from Dobbins, although sometimes you never know where the planes are coming from, but I saw two fighters in formation going right over downtown towards Cobb County. It was pretty cool.
That is cool. Today, Charlie Morton on the hill for the Braves. It'll be Zach Wheeler. Now, we just saw this Phillies club, and they swept us. And, you know, again, Mike mentioned this last week when everybody was, well, I don't know about the Braves. There were two of those games we could have won, right?
Right.
They could have went either way. I don't think the Phillies are that much better than us. I do think that we're still the team to beat in this division, but you got to earn it. And so Charlie Morton gets the start tonight. But we'll be talking a lot about the festivities that'll be going on at Truist Park. And, again, as Mike said, fans at the game, which, remember, last year we didn't get an opportunity to do this. So, you know, we've come a long way already. We'll continue to continue to move this forward. And, Mike, as we said, maybe when we get to the middle or end of summer, the Braves are at full capacity. That's something they had talked about prior to this All-Star game being taken away.
You know, I will say this. I was running some errands around town today, and I was on Peachtree, and I noticed a lot more people out and about doing their thing, some with masks, some realizing that, you know, with, you know, ultraviolet light, unless someone's spitting in your face, you can walk around without the mask, but I'm not trying to get out my soapbox. But a lot of people out and about and engaged, which was kind of cool. And I think, you know, tonight there'll be a buzz. Probably some folks out there hanging out the battery right now, getting their drink on, getting ready for tonight.
Yeah, man. You guys can always chime in. 404-741-0929. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a year in which, and I say this because it goes back to last year. I mean, we would have been an opening day last year, but it didn't happen. And this year, with limited capacity and, you know, we're still doing limited events as far as our radio station and Mike and I being out and whatnot. But that's going to continue to change. But, Mike, this is one of our favorite days, man. One of our favorite days to be at the ballpark, be in the parking lot, hanging out with our people, having some Hey Man Ale. Matter of fact, 2 years ago is when we got that first taste of the watermelon lime.
Yeah, man. So get on to it. If you're, if your local carrier or purveyor doesn't have it, you know, whether it's a package store or a supermarket, ask them. And if enough people ask, then they'll make sure they get it. And Georgia Crown will get it in there. And, yeah, just the beer. Again, I'm waiting for our deliveries on the south side. I feel like Bill Murray. I need. And what about Bob? So, yeah, man, have you got your hands on it yet?
I have not.
All right, so we got our faces on the can, and neither one of us has the new beer.
I have not, but I am. This weekend is the weekend. I'm going to have some by tomorrow. I'll have some by tomorrow.
By the way, if everybody sees it down here in Peachtree City or Fairburn or Newton, let me know, because I'll make a
but
run.
I will say this, and Taylor, our brewmaster, told us this, which, you know, again, it's all about the numbers. But when we did our Hey Man release, what was it, 4 years now, Mike? How long has it been?
Yeah, it was 18.
18, okay. So when we did our Hey Man release, our original Hey Man Ale, it was, you know, we were growing it. It was limited places that you could find it, and then it continued to grow, and then more and more package stores picked it up and whatnot. But we actually, there is more watermelon lime going out than our original release in 18 with Hey Man Ale. So you're going to be able to get it. You're going to be able to put your hands on it soon, okay? So there are more cans out there than we originally released in 18 when we did the opening of Hey Man. So I'm just saying, I know people are impatient. It's funny because every day I put a picture out, somebody's like, yeah, still waiting on it, Dukes. I'm like, okay, it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, man. So today, I, like a lot of folks, got out of the rack, and I was watching some of the Masters. And again, the guys that finished late, started early, they flip it. So today, Justin Rose, I was watching him today, Carl. And
is he choking?
No. He's. We didn't mention this yesterday. Our buddy Brian, our old friend Brian Katrick, brought this up on the radio. But that you got four times he has been a first-round leader at the Masters. And obviously, it's not come to a Masters championship or a green jacket. As they said, one arm in the sleeve of the jacket. But Rose, if you didn't see it, he bogeyed the first hole, bounced back with a birdie on the second par five. And then Carl really scuffling. But now, like he did yesterday, kind of finding his legs on the back nine. And again, I know that if you're like Gus, you want to see. Yeah, I like to see the guys who are like the elites on tour win the big majors, right? So I'm kind of now I'm pulling for Rose. Now I got no other vested interest, but Rose is at 6 under. Mark Leishman from Australia at 5 under, and then of course your favorite, Carl. I know you had him in your Calcutta, Bert Weisbacher at 4 under.
Yes. So.
An event like any other.
Mark James, shut up, you stooge. It's a tradition unlike any other.
Let me look at my Calcutta. Hold on, while you got me thinking about it. I know Rory already screwed me. Right. So, but no, man, you're right. Leishman, he's been a pleasant surprise, although he's been playing well. But, yeah, I don't have any – I'm not rooting for any one of these guys. You know what I want Sunday? Drama.
Yeah.
I want it to come down to hole 16, one guy, three guys, up a hole, down a hole. And let me see how this thing finishes and who chokes under pressure, because these majors are so hard to win. Yeah. And Mike, you know, I think before the Masters started yesterday, I was watching something about all the guys. They had this great story. It was probably, I don't know, 5 minutes long, about all the guys that haven't won.
Right.
Like have been in the hunt. And, you know, obviously the shark is one of the big ones, but have been in the hunt, needed a putt, needed just a chip, and weren't able to get it done. It was crazy.
Yeah, Greg Norman's – you can do a whole show on Greg Norman coming up short. You know, in one case, it was you know, Nick Faldo was the benefactor of – and again, there's just no other way to describe it. Norman was an amazing talent. He was the face of that golf generation, but he choked a lot. You know, and he made millions, and he still does, and he's got all the apparel and everything else, and he's got the empire. But, you know, Tiger came in, was a breath of fresh air, because think about it. The biggest name – in the sport was more famous for coming up short than winning majors back then, if you go back to the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah, and by the way, the Sharks going on to do pretty well.
Yeah, no, as I said, he's laughing all the way to the bank, you know. But
when it came to that moment, you're right.
But no, if you go look at it, like, you know, first off, there's a whole generation of young golfers that came up after Tiger. And a lot of these guys, let's be honest, they didn't live up to the hype. Adam Scott finally got his Masters. That was back in 13. We talked yesterday about Sergio. He knocked it off in 17, checked it off the list. But there's, you know, a lot of guys that just, you know, had all the hype about it. Remember Camilo Villegas?
Oh,
Spider-Man?
Wow.
I'll take you back a little bit.
You are.
Right. But we mentioned it. Rory McIlroy hasn't won a major in 7 years now. You know, Spieth is trying to get back on track. And by the way, Spieth is at 3 under for what it's worth, and he birdied at 2, and I think he birdied 10.
He's in contention.
Yeah, he's in the mix, you know, and Justin Rose just birdied 16, so he's at 7. He's back to the same score he had at the conclusion of yesterday.
Okay, and this is what I was asking yesterday at the end of the show. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Follow us. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929, and of course, this radio station, 929, The Game. Follow us across all social media platforms. We're on the gram as well at Dukes and Bell and on Twitch live every day, ATL 929, The Game. You can watch the show, subscribe to get that exclusive content.
And by the way,
I was going to say real quick, I was watching, I was asking this question yesterday. What was the score? What's the score going to be? So if Justin finishes 7 under, 8 under today, I was saying, what's it going to take to win this tournament? And yesterday we were throwing out that number, you know, 15 under. Well, he climbed back to where he was yesterday. It might be 12 to win this thing.
Again, the if you didn't see it yesterday, we noticed on television the greens looked like brownish purple. And I saw Dave Archer, of course, and believe me, Dave plays a lot more golf than we do. He noticed it on TV yesterday. There's an article in Golf Magazine today, a little blog, that was saying that they basically didn't want it to be as easy as it was in the fall, where it was soft.
Well, it's not.
And so, again, when it's softer greens, now they're banking on some rain. If they don't get the rain, and right now we're not getting the rain where I thought we were going to get, maybe tonight it falls, but they may have burned out the greens a little bit. They're so slick and fast, and basically what they look like, that's bent grass that needs water. According to what the guys are going to tell.
Stat of the day right here.
Give me the stat of the day.
So the combined score from the last year's opening round was minus 55. Yesterday, it was plus 220.
That makes sense.
There you go, and that's why the grass looks the way it does. It's like a pool table.
That is why I did not think Dustin Johnson was going to repeat either. I didn't feel like he had 2 days of 65 in him with the conditions that the course played back in November. It is Dukes and Bell. Plenty of Masters updates throughout the day. We'll continue to keep you abreast of what's going on. I will say this. It is good to see guys like Dustin Johnson hitting out of trees, Mike, and just like me, hitting a tree and looking at the ball like, I did that? Yes, you're the pros, and you're doing the same thing we do every weekend. So it's great to see that. Hey, let's give you a chance to win some money right now. Oh! Boat is the word, B-O-A-T. Text it to 72881. That's 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest. Mike, I'm on a boat.
Yuri Tinko's making copies. I'm on a boat wearing flippy floppies. Boat goes to 72881. You got until the end of the hour to get it in and text boat. And then if the phone calls, answer it. And you can win a grand, man. Let's give away some, be a nice way to wrap up Friday and give away some loot today. Boat right now. Text it.
It really would be. Coming up, by the way, we're going to talk with one of our draft experts, Dane Brugler, is going to join us from The Athletic. He came on the show probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago as we were kind of getting into the draft talk. We'll see what's changed on his big board and talk to him about the Falcons as well. That's going to happen at 3:40 today. We're going to do our tailgate edition, guys. Tailgate at home with Dukes and Bell at 3:20 today. So make sure you tune in. We'll grab Mike Conti. We'll grab Bo Morgan. We'll see what they got working for the weekend as well. Steve Koonin's on the way, Hawks CEO. Hawks back in action tonight. It is Unity Night down at State Farm, and we've been giving you an opportunity to get in on that. They're taking on the Bulls. I guess, Mike, that they're going to bounce back. But then we got this note about John Collins, and I'm like, okay, so Collins, you know, is going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
As they put this update out yesterday, you know, what, 7 to 10 days, and his status will be updated. So I'm assuming JC's not going to be available tonight either.
Yeah, we'll talk to Steve about, you know, how they weather this injury bug, because it's legit. I mean, unfortunately, that Grizzlies game we talked about the other day, that was just brutal not having Capella out there. But again, if Capella's out there, I feel a lot better. Also, a little bit later today, we'll get in the conversation. Draymond Green went on, I guess, Kevin Durant's podcast and basically echoed the sentiments. And again, if you don't want to take it from the guy who's 52, and what are you now, 48? How old are you now?
Old enough.
The old guys that say the NBA is soft, take it from a guy that's in the NBA right now, because Draymond Green basically says, I'm trying to talk blank to these guys, and everybody wants to be friends. So why, of course, would anybody react negatively to somebody clowning us like they're the Harlem Globetrotters blowing us out the other night? It's just not the way the game is played anymore.
All right, I can't wait to get into this conversation, because I know we're going to piss somebody off. Hey, rest in peace, DMX. He passed away today. So, yes, we'll be playing DMX on the show today here on Dukes and Bell. Big DMX fan, man. Passing away at the age of 50, had a heart attack last week, and Bo had mentioned it in his segment earlier in the week, was on life support, and the official announcement came down today. All right, we're coming back. We got some headlines to get to. Braves home opener, and can his bat stay hot? You'll hear what he had to say next. Bell. Hawks are proud to announce and honor the life and legacy of Dr. King this season with the MLK Nike City Edition uniforms. Guys, they'll do it tonight with the matching court at State Farm Arena, and you can join the Hawks for Unity Night against the Bulls tonight, April 9th at 8 o'clock, presented by State Farm. For your tickets, make sure you go to hawks.com/tickets. Learn more about Unity Night. They'll have more, by the way, Unity Nights, that is, and you can do that at hawks.com/MLK. Hey, Mike, guys hitting us up, talking about the Braves, and, you know, tonight is the season home opener for the Braves at Truist Park. They're home for a 3 against the Phillies, and then the Marlins come in, and then they'll go back on the road at the end of next week. But, you know, when Pablo Sandoval comes up big off the bench like that, it gives you a lot of confidence. And guys were saying, you know, I'm more concerned right now with these little nagging things, with Freed's foot and Soroka not being able to come back when we thought he'd be able to come back. I understand that. But I still think, Mike, we've got enough to get us, you know, where we need to be. I'm not stressing about that.
No, I mean, Smiley wouldn't exactly crisp in his opener for the Braves. So he'll have, I mean, you know, kind of get it together. But, you know, this is why you and I were talking about names like Trevor Bauer and others. And I know that Bauer's got his own controversy about whether he's scuffing or loading
cheater
up the baseball today. You know? Well, Greg Maddux did it. No one talks about that, but it's all good. But, no, as far as scuffing, but as far as, you know, the Braves pitching, as I said yesterday, you know, I still think there'll be a time where we're going to have to lean on Kyle Wright, you know, and he's going to have to step up, or he'll be the next Fulton Avich, and adios if you can't get your head right in the show. You know what I mean?
I do.
It's a great opportunity. It could be a great opportunity for him. You know, all the guys. What's it called? The alternate site.
Alternate site. Yes.
Baseball limbo.
Yeah. The minor leagues have not started. So yeah, the alternate site is where guys are pitching and trying to get their work in. As of right now, obviously, eventually, it will start, and you know, you'll have guys making their way back and forth like they normally do. But just the pushback this year, it starts, I think, at the end of this month, maybe May 1st or 2nd. For the stripers and all the folks that are in the minor league system. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We got plenty to get to today. Mike, we came in talking about the Masters. We'll get you caught up on a Masters leaderboard here in just a second.
Yes.
And also, are you going to do Dusty today, by the way?
Yes, we'll do Dusty at 5. Sometime at 5 o'clock, we'll get stupid.
And Joe Patrick's going to join us at 2:40, our Braves insider. We'll get his thoughts on what he thinks about the Braves coming off this road trip. And more importantly, can we build on what we saw just the other day? Yesterday was an off day for the Braves. Chris behind the glass on a Friday. Bo Morgan, executive producing. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Can his bat stay hot? Now, listen, he's not going to be in the lineup every day, but you're going to need Pablo Sandoval. There goes that panda.
Yeah.
To come through in situations like he did the other day. Here's what he said, Mike, about success.
You know, like I said, you have to be prepared and be ready. Be ready and, you know, try to get a good swings and try to take a good at-bats out there. If you take a good swing and you prepare yourself to take good at-bats, you're going to see the result.
He's right. Good things happen, man. I hear things. I got ears. Middle here, middle there. Make a few moves. Use me in a pinch hitting role.
Come on, Tony.
You can use me as a pinch hitter. If Riley can get a goal, put me at third base. I don't, you know, I'm not so bad.
He's just so cool and laid back, man. But
that's,
you know what? He's a vet, guys. He's been there, and he's right. I mean, the thing is, I think he had a nice rhythm as we talked about coming out of spring training. He was hitting 420 something, 428 or 9. So
I know why they call me the panda. They call me the tiger.
Why should they call you the tiger?
Because that's why I said to Elvira, you're like a tiger. A girl like you, I go straight to the top.
Wait a minute, you're quoting lines from Scarface.
What's that now? I say that's a snicker. I say, you know, don't call me panda, call me tiger. Someday soon, I get the right guy, I get a line of blue jeans with Pablo Sandoval's name on the backs of chicks' asses. Yes. That is my dream.
So hopefully he can stay hot. We hope so, because when we need him to come off the bench, that's a hard thing to do, man, by the way. I would tell you guys, pinch hitting, Major League Baseball, in a big spot like that, maybe the hardest thing in sports. Because you're cold, you're coming in, facing a guy who's throwing, you know, red hot, Mike, and you got to get a hit. It's one of the toughest things to do in sports.
You know, it's funny, the guys that did it, you know, you remember guys that did it when you were a kid? Like Joe Torre, when I was a little kid, did it for the Mets.
He was a good pinch hitter,
you know, Rusty Staub was a guy that did it.
Great,
you know,
and
the Braves have always had guys who can come off the bench and do it too. So, yeah, but again, it's so far, we've needed it because let's hope it starts tonight for Marcelo Ozuna and for Ozzie Albies, so they get on track because they are not good right now.
All right, Charlie Morton on the hill tonight for the Braves. Meanwhile, as we mentioned, Hawks back in action as well. And we're still going to be shorthanded, guys. It's just kind of what it is. But Mike and I have been saying this, and I think it's more about attitude than anything. Nate McMillan said, listen, these games that we're playing right now, they have some intensity to them.
That's playoff basketball. That is what we're going to see. That is coming. The closer we get to this race, trying to get into the playoffs, you're going to see teams play with that type of effort, that type of physicality, and every possession counts.
So, Mike, I mean, I don't want to sound like this guy, but are we tough enough?
It's a question. I mean, you know, I love Capella. I like what he brings. I think, you know, Jarvis has talked about it at night with John Charkey sometimes, you know, questioning John Collins and maybe needing a little bit more size to go toe-to-toe in the low post at times. I don't know. I mean, I think Lou brings some toughness. But, again, Lou don't play no D. You know, he just said that he launches instant offense. So that has been, you know, some of the – did you think that – was it Draymond that made Golden State tough?
Yes.
I mean, one guy. I mean, one person changes that perception. I mean, Capella is like our own little Dennis Rodman, but he's not, I don't know if I'd consider him like that, you know, rough and tumble guy.
No.
I mean, I love his game, but I mean, that's, it is something, you know, that nobody talks about, but you need some of that.
You do. And that's what we mentioned the other day when we were talking about all these championship teams. You know, people would think that the Warriors were solved. I would disagree. And you got to go back and look at those first couple of championships. They had veteran guys that knew how to play.
Iguodala.
Absolutely. On that team, who were not only leaders, but also were tough. And I don't mean tough guys like fake tough guys like we'll fight and push.
Right.
I'm talking about just mentally tough. And Draymond, for all the BS that he speaks, he brought that to that team because he played really good defense, Mike. And he was a grinder. He was a guy that's going to go get a loose ball, 50-50 ball. He's going to go get a rebound when you needed one. And then if somebody stepped up, he was also going to be the guy in the fray. So I just asked the question as we move along, and Nate McMillan saying the intensity's got to pick up. Are we tough enough? We're going to find out, guys. We're going to find out.
Hey, by the way, I looked it up. The most pinch hits in a season for the Braves, Chris Chambliss, 1986.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Me neither. But there you go. But that's always a cool guy, an older dude who's in a loose mood who can, you know, can bring the bat when you need it.
Interesting. Let's talk about the Masters. We will do a leaderboard, try to keep you updated throughout the course of the day. As Mike said, the rain, it hasn't happened yet, which means the conditions are still fairly good. Mike, I've been watching the Rose Mickelson group all day.
Right.
And Phil, you know, he's had his moments. He's not playing terrible, as a matter of fact, but I wanted to see what he was going to do. Mm. But who's atop the leaderboard and who's in contention right
now? Yeah, man, we're waiting for him to finish up on. I'm watching the Golf Channel. ESPN's coverage begins at 3, but Justin Rose is about to finish up. Unless he doesn't birdie or bogey 18, he'll be right where he started at 7 under. Mark Leishman shot a 67. He's 2 strokes back at 5 under. Cameron Smith, an Australian, made a big move today. He was 7 under today, Carl, on the round.
Wow.
So he's at 5 under. We mentioned the Austrian, Bernd Wiesberger, 4 under. Justin Thomas is a 4 under. He is 5 under for his round today, 4 under for the tournament. So Brian Harman, the Georgia Bulldog, he is at 4 under today as well. And Jordan Spieth is at 3 under, and he's got Amen Corner he's in the middle of right now. Webb Simpson, he is a 1 under for the day at 3 under. So those are basically the big dogs. Patrick Reed at 2 under, Matsuyama at 2 under, and Tommy Fleetwood at 1 under. The guy at the hole-in-1 yesterday on 16, which is really cool. In case you're wondering, Bubba at even, and then the guys like Bryson DeChambeau. He's making some ground, and he's over the cut line right now at 2 over. Projected cut right now is at 4 over.
Oh, wow. The Masters, okay. A tradition like no other.
See, even Jim Rome. See, even Jim Rome butchers it.
No, he didn't. Is that real, Chris?
Yeah, he was talking about how tough the, on our CBS Sports Minute. There he is, Jim Rome, ladies and gentlemen, multimillionaire.
Chris, is that real?
Yep. A tradition like no other. I'm Jim Rome.
So first we have Mark. We have both ends of the radio. Now Mark James has filled in for Jim Rome on his show, but there's both ends of the radio spectrum.
An event like any other.
The Masters, a tradition like no other.
No, that's not, neither one of those is right.
Oh, that made my day right there. Oh, my goodness. All right, man.
It's a tradition unlike any
unlike.
Other.
The key word is unlike.
Jim Nantz, it's a tradition unlike any other.
So the reason why is because it's the Masters, you idiots. So, what in the world?
In case you're wondering, Brooks Koepka right now wouldn't make the cut. Rory McIlroy would not make the cut, Carl. The cut is actually 3 over. I said 4. It's 3 over right now.
Oh, Rory.
So Lee Westwood, who was such a great story earlier this year on the Florida run of the tour, he wouldn't make the cut.
He might be wearing down, man.
Yeah.
He might be wearing. He's a little bit older.
Patrick Cantlay was a guy a lot of the guys on the Golf Channel were talking about. He won't make the cut. So there you go.
Well, where's Tony Finau, real quick? Where's Finau?
Good question. I mean, I think Finau is.
I'm curious for selfish reasons. He's in my pool.
I got to find him.
Okay.
I don't see him. Oh, Finau is good. He's 3 under. He's actually 5 under for the day.
Perfect.
He's tied for 9th.
Yes. Sorry, guys.
And we love Tony. I mean, that's a guy we're really, really rooting to win. I love the guy's game, love his style. Hope he gets it done this time.
Super guy. All right, some football news. Everybody's wondering about, you know, Matthew Stafford, obviously Georgia connection, lives here in the offseason. Les Snead, the general manager for the Rams, Mike, is like, listen, we just didn't trade him for this year. Listen to this.
I don't think we did it thinking 2 years, right? You based on, you know, where his age, you can legitimately think 5 to 7, 8 years, if you look at what Drew's done. I don't know if we're going to get into Tom Brady, right? And
keep your
theme going, but with quarterbacks of his pedigree, a lot of those guys have played, right? into their late 30s for sure. So that was definitely the vision with Matt.
All right, so not a short-term deal, Carl.
No, man. I mean, he's saying they're invested 5 or 6 more years, maybe.
Well, that's, I don't know about that, but okay. Well, yeah. They certainly, you know, if the thing is, can they shore up the offensive line with all of the draft picks they've lost over the years? That's the question. Because Sneed, by the way, learned from Dimitroff. Sneed was here in Atlanta, and he's been very aggressive. And remember, they loaded up on free agents. They went to the Super Bowl. They had to take a bit of a hit with the cap. Now they're back in it. But can he – because that there's some pieces on that old line. You've got to protect – one thing, just like Matt Ryan, you've got to protect Stafford. Can he do that working with the limitations of how many, you know, picks he'll have to use every year?
Yeah. It's – they are – I think they're a better team with Stafford, though, than they were with Goff.
Goff, well, here, the thing was, because we don't watch the Rams when they're on national TV, but they were asking Goff to step up his game. And, you know, when the coach apparently did it, and, you know, let's be honest, Sean McVay's butt's going to be on the line. And then they started doing it publicly, and he didn't respond. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know where it went. They thought, again, just like anybody else who gets a monster contract that sets the market, people expect something to happen, and he didn't do it.
Coming up, Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, Braves home opener tonight at Truist Park. We'll ask him about what he thinks about the last couple of days, the games, the injuries, and more. It's next.
And it is a Friday in paradise. Coming up, we'll do our hashtag Dukes and Bell tailgate at home, see what you guys are cooking as we are getting into some serious grilling weather. I know we've been expecting some rain, waiting to see how that's going to affect the Masters right now. It's holding off, but could be coming tonight. We've also got the home opener. As we know, the ballpark was, again, built on Indian burial grounds, which always seems to attract thunderstorms. Let's hope we avoid that tonight, because that would be a buzzkill. Joe Patrick, ready to rock? He's going to join us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Joe, we were just talking about it earlier in the hour that, you know, we're excited about the season, but yet, I don't know, a little nervous with the pitching situation. Freed obviously looks like he's going to be okay. How concerned are you, though, about Soroka with this hiccup now with the shoulder situation?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where you don't ideally obviously want to see something like that, but I also think that, you know, this is kind of what the team was at least saying publicly was the main concern with a guy like Mike Soroka, since they've kind of been doing media since spring training, you know, what they've been messaging is that the issue is not with the Achilles itself. It's the worries with all the other things, both the joints in the leg around that Achilles, but also the arm, you know, because he's just not getting the normal work that he would have gotten last year, and then trying to get him ramped up quickly to try to be able to pitch as soon as possible. So it is a little bit concerning, and even Brian Snicker did admit to that when he was talking about it just a couple days ago. But at the same time, you know, maybe this is a chance for him to kind of just take the foot off the gas a little bit, ease back into things a little bit more than he was, because I really do think that a guy like Mike Soroka is that kind of competitive guy who wants to get back in as soon as possible. Maybe this is something that just kind of reminds everybody that, okay, maybe it's smarter here to play the long game, and so they'll shut him down for a couple weeks. And hopefully that means that the inflammation that he's kind of feeling right now will subside, and then he's able to get kind of back into his rehab.
Joe Patrick joining us, guys, here on Dukes and Bell, talking Braves, our Braves insider, Braves home opener tonight against the Phillies. So let's talk about the pitching, because Charlie Morton is on the hill tonight. Who impressed you through this first week, and who didn't from the starters? What did you like? What didn't you like?
You know, it's interesting because the Braves obviously had a pretty, you know, a disappointing way to start the season. Obviously, you never want to get swept in that first series. And then, fortunately, they were able to kind of recover a little bit so that when you look at the record, it's like, okay, 2-4 is not that bad, although I think it felt a lot worse at the time before those two wins came. But I say that because pitching-wise, it's actually been pretty encouraging, at least from my perspective. I think, you know, when you look at the starters, Charlie Morton pitched well. Ian Anderson, these guys pitched well. They just didn't get, obviously, the run support they needed, and they didn't, you know, get the – they weren't perfect, but they were good. And I think that that's really what you're looking for, and especially with a guy like Ian Anderson, I know he's not pitching tonight, but he will pitch later in the series, is that he didn't have his best stuff. He didn't have everything working when he went against the Phillies last week, but, you know, he had enough to be able to get through and be effective enough to the point where he left the team a chance to win the game. I think he came out with when it was 1-0. So, you know, I think that that's really good sign for a young pitcher. And with Charlie Morton, he's kind of on the other end of that. You know, he's at the tail end of his career, but I think it's kind of the same thing where even when you don't have your best stuff, both those guys were still giving this team a chance to win. And that's really all you can ask for, because this offense will come around. You've got these great hitters, Freddie Freeman, the MVP from last year. We all know what Ronald Acuña is. This offense is going to produce. So if you get the pitching results that this team has gotten this first week, I think this team is going to be totally fine.
It is Joe Patrick, our Braves insider, as we said, the home opener tonight. And again, maybe get a few showers, hoping they get lucky with the weather tonight. Hey, man, the bullpen. And I got to be honest, Luke Jackson, you know, we bring him up all the time, makes us nervous as hell. I loved what Newcomb pulled the other night, man. Newcomb had great movement. Yeah. The fastball velocity was great. And I'm not saying he's like got issues behind the ears, but that's got to be a confidence booster for him.
Yeah, totally. I think Brian Snicker sounded impressed, too. He was saying that that's closer-type stuff. And, you know, maybe he's trying to say, like, hey, we got a closer here. If anybody wants to come trade for him, he's available. But, you know, also, you're right. I mean, he was pumping gas that I didn't even know he had in him. He was hitting 97, 98 on the gun that night. It was impressive. And if he can produce like that, then the Braves don't need to trade him because he can be very, very effective for this team. And especially it's important for him to be in good form right now when you've got a guy in Chris Martin who's supposed to be, you know, a big part of this bullpen, very reliable member of the bullpen since 2019. And he's, you know, right now he's kind of touch and go as to how healthy he is with some tenderness in that elbow. So, you know, it's a great sign to see that from Sean Newcomb. I think this bullpen does have some question marks. You know, I think that the Braves really right now are relying on the depth in the organization to try to figure out who is going to be the guys who they go into the postseason with, or, you know, just kind of ride out through the season with. And I think that they're still trying to figure some of that out now. I think they are pretty confident in the back end of the bullpen. Will Smith, I know he's kind of been, I don't know if you want to say shaky, I guess. I mean, his results have certainly been shaky, but I think the Braves still have a lot of confidence in him, as well as AJ Minter and Tyler Matzek. And so hopefully these guys like Sean Newcomb, these guys like Luke Jackson, you know, if they can produce, then I think that this is once again going to be a really strong unit because, we can't forget that this was pretty much the unit that the Braves rode to the playoffs last year. And so I think if they get anything close to that again this year, I think they'll be in good shape.
Joe, there goes that panda. What about Pablo Sandoval and the bench? Because guys were literally worried about the season when the season started. You know, I'm concerned about the bench. I think it was more about missing Duvall than realizing what we currently have. And again, I'm not saying he's going to come through every time. It's one of the hardest spots in a pinch hitting situation. But what do you think about the bench?
Yeah, you know, I still think this bench could use another you'd like to see it have a little bit more power, right? Because, I mean, I say that because and Pablo Sandoval's hit two home runs this week. But, you know, I do think that they could use another kind of power back when you look at what they've got. And they're going on a four-man bench anyway. It's like you got Ender Inciarte there. You got Eric Adrianza there. He's been hitting the ball well, but he's not necessarily known for that. So it would be nice to kind of shore that up, especially because you're in the National League without a DH this year. You're going to need more players who you're confident in coming up, stepping up to the plate and hitting throughout games. So I think that those are going to be very important roles for the Braves this year, as well as every National League team. And so I think that this team could, you know, I would look out for them to go out there and make a deal to bring somebody in who would fill that role. It's just a tough situation right now because you do have Ender Inciarte, who's on $9 million. Right. It'll be interesting to see how they end up settling that situation. But, when you take it back to Pablo Sandoval, I mean, what an incredible week, first of all, from him. And he's so impressive. You know, we talked to him. He talked to media a couple of days ago. And after you talk to him, you understand why he was so good in these situations because he's really taken to this role of being a bench bat. And he knows that his job is to come in a tough situation and try to get a hit, try to get a big hit. And, you know, he talked about it. He said, you know, the way that pinch hitters aren't just lucky. They're not just running into hits, right? The way you are a good pinch hitter is you approach the game the right way. You start getting loose in the third, fourth inning when you know you're coming up. And that's what he said he does. He gets up, he starts working in the cage a few innings before. And with that kind of preparation, that's what's going to lead to the success because he has the experience. And he knows obviously how to hit the baseball. So he's done a great job so far for the Braves. He was a guy I wasn't even thinking that he would be on the major league roster, honestly, going into the season. But he just proved it. He hit it in spring training, and he's continuing to prove it now.
The great tradition, Carl, started with Chris Chambliss, as we learned earlier, had the single-season pinch hit record. Remember Julio Franco? Remember, he's like 50. We used to joke around. He's like, Jesus is my juice, Carl. We used to always wonder if there was better living through chemistry. Keith Lockhart had 59.
That dude was 75. Man.
I know. I mean, nobody knows. You had to cut, you know, like the tree, cut the limb off and count the rings. And then Lockhart had a bunch of hits as well back in the day. Lockhart always stayed on the roster. No one knew why because he was actually pretty good. Hey, real quick, what do you know about the guy we added, Edgar Santana? Carl and I always joke around that AA does pretty good shopping at odd lots. This guy had a PED suspension, but what do we know about this guy?
Yeah, I mean, he's a bit of a mystery to me, but I will say that I think that you just have to trust Alex Anthopoulos in these situations, and he's been very good in trying to like really prospect. And by prospect, I'm not talking about like young players. I'm talking about like mining prospecting, where it's like you're just hoping to hit on a lotto ticket essentially. Mm-hmm. And Alex Anthopoulos has had a pretty good run of fortune in these types of situations. Again, it's a move that adds depth. I like the move. I don't know exactly what to expect, and I don't know if anybody really does, but I think that it's you have to really just trust Alex Anthopoulos at this point, because he hasn't really missed a ton when he makes these kinds of deals.
Carl, he's a right-hander. He had Tommy John, and I guess trying to pump up his Tommy John, that's when he got on something that he shouldn't have got on.
All right, man. Joe Patrick, let's enjoy the weekend. Hopefully we can win this series and get some of those games back, because, again, these games are in our division against the Phillies. Tonight is Charlie Morton on the hill. Joe, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again.
Sounds good, guys.
Joe Sweet. Patrick, Braves insider. Hey, coming up, guys, we'll go around the NFL.
You love those names, though, man. Julio Franco was a trip, man.
He was back in the day. Nobody, and here's the thing. That was during a time period, I will tell you guys, because I was covering Major League Baseball, when no one was willing to ask Dominican players, how old they were.
Right.
Mike, seriously, there was a guy named Octavio Dotel.
Right.
And we come to find out, Dotel's like 5 years older than what he had said he was. There was a ton of guys like
Julio
that.
Franco was 47 when he was playing for the Braves. No joke, when they brought him back. And that was what they had on paper. So who knows? He could have been our age.
Nobody would ask. Whatever you do, don't ask his age.
Manny Mota.
Coming up, more going on with the Deshaun Watson case. The accusers now have to reveal themselves. We'll get you caught up on that. And Jerry, is he really infatuated with the guy that could impact this draft for us? It's next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.